Chapter 18.
The Roche government has given Mercana 24 hours to cease production of weapons command systems that are allegedly in breach of patents or face what it describes as immediate enforcement. GA Chief of Staff Neothel tonight warned Roche against military action and said GA fighters would be patrolling the system in a peacekeeping role.
HNE News Update. Hapes. Mara dropped out of hyperspace, still putting together scenarios to explain why Lumia had gone racing down the Perlemian to the Hapes cluster shortly after a GAG Stealth X was signed out of the GA fleet hangar by Colonel Jason Solo. There was no sign of the Stealth X. If Jason wasn't making himself detectable in the Force, Mara couldn't spot the stealth fighter any better than an enemy could. But ideas were forming in her mind. Either Lumia was fermenting more trouble to break the Alliance, in which case Hapes was a wasted journey, or she was meeting someone here, like Alima.
"Sorry, Jaina. I'll try to bring her back alive for you, but no promises. Not in this mood."
Or she was pursuing Jason. Or maybe she'd found the transponder and was back to playing tag. Mara thought that it was odd that the ship hadn't spat out the tiny device, given that it was smart enough to throw a line around her neck to save Lumia's tin backside.
It could have killed me easily enough, too, but it didn't.
Mara disliked reasoning in a vacuum. She didn't quite trust the crazier things that crossed her mind lately. But maybe the ship still saw her as a darksider. It would be academic soon, but the thought that she might still have that tang of darkness about her produced some mixed emotions.
"Yeah, I'm going to kill my sister-in-law's son. On the dark scale of 10, that's a 12.
Now that her anger had ebbed, she was beginning to wonder what she was doing here. The Hapens would wonder that, too, if they managed to spot a Stealth X hanging around their system unannounced. Lumia's transponder showed that her ship was sitting in a cluster of asteroids, but she wasn't showing up on scans. What was she waiting for? Mara ran a discreet check on her instruments. If she went active on sensors, she'd give away her position. So it had to be a case of passive detection only. She was watching or waiting, and how the Hapens hadn't taken an unhealthy interest in the sphere was anyone's guess. But Lumia had a talent for evasion.
"Follow the credits, but in this case, follow the Sith."
Mara shut down as many systems as she could afford to do without, and waited. The temptation to launch a spread of proton torpedoes took some resisting, but until Mara worked out what Lumia was waiting for, the Sith had a stay of execution. It had to be Jason that Lumia had followed, although how she'd managed that, Mara wasn't yet sure. Maybe Tenel Ka had summoned him to intercede and get him to drop that stupid warrant on his parents. That didn't explain Lumia riding escort, though, or why she'd tailed him for 18 solid hours. It was staring Mara in the face, whatever it was. She knew that. She was missing a piece again. But all she needed was to locate Jason, not work out his pension plan.
"I could just calm Tenel Ka and ask."
However tightly the Hapens controlled access to their space, a 13-meter piece of stealth technology drifting between planets was just a speck of dust. Mara was effectively hidden, and so was Jason. If he was on the surface, she might, just might, detect him when he took off for a moment. But that meant going active and attracting attention.
"Think. Think."
She could wait until he re-entered the Perlemian trade route, but that made the assumption that he was returning to Coruscant the way he came.
"I don't have infinite oxygen either.
There was an easy solution, but it would blow her cover. An hour later, she was ready to use it. She opened the secure comlink and readied herself for a little social engineering.
Hapen Fleet Ops, this is GA Stealth X-5 Alpha requesting assistance.
That would cause a flap, but it had to be done.
5 Alpha, this is Hapen Fleet Ops. We don't like surprises, even from allies.
Oops.
This was paranoid country.
Apologies, Fleet. I'd like to stay off the chart, but can you confirm that Chief of State Solo is unharmed and that his vessel is undamaged?
There was a brief silence. Knowing Hapen Fleet Ops, they were checking her out to be sure she was a GA pilot and that her transponder, now obligingly active, matched their security code list.
Confirmed, 5 Alpha. His ship landed in the Fountain Palace compound without incident. Should we be aware of any special security issues?
Ah, definitely visiting Tenel Ka, then. Probably explaining himself. Believe me, Your Royal Highness, I had no choice. I had to depose Omus.
Fleet, he's not aware that we have concerns for his safety, and that we've put close protection on him in transit. He thinks he can handle it himself. Discretion on your part would ensure he doesn't try to shake me. I've detected a vessel following him, but I lost it in your space. Unknown origin, 10-meter red sphere with distinctive ocular front view screen and cruciform masts and vanes.
Mara's warning displays were lighting up. Now that the Hapens had a fix on her transmission, they were checking out the Stealth-X with sensors while they had the chance. She could have blocked them, but she let them probe around to keep them happy.
Understood, 5 Alpha. We'll give you a heads up when he makes a move. If we detect the sphere, do you want us to detain or neutralize?
Your space, she said. Have this with my very best wishes, Lumia. I have no orders to detain. Feel free to neutralize.
Copy that, 5 Alpha. Unless you flash us in the meantime, we won't ping you until the Chief of State takes off.
They were such nice, helpful people, the Hapens, even if they were paranoid. And they understood plots, assassins, and keeping their mouths shut. Mara shut down all non-criticals and meditated in darkness, marveling anew at how very vivid and exquisitely beautiful starscapes were without the gauzy filter of an atmosphere. She allowed herself one quick glance at her datapad to reassure herself that there was one thing she didn't have to worry about. Ben's transponder said he was still safely on Coruscant.
GAG Shuttle, Tanab Space.
Ben had learned a lot from his GAG comrades about tailing suspects discreetly, and one basic trick was to overshoot an exit and double back. He dropped out of hyperspace and headed back coreward to Tanab, not Hapes, even though he was sure the Sith sphere was there. He could feel it, but he couldn't detect it conventionally. He could have spoken to it, but he stayed shut down in the Force to avoid Lumia's attention. He tried to work out why she was interested in Hapes and failed, but there was nothing of Jason that he could feel, just a trace of his own mother. The closer he ventured toward Hapen space, the more powerful her presence became.
"Don't tell me we're both following Lumia."
He'd have some explaining to do. But it didn't matter. He'd happily take being grounded for a year, and even sent to Ossus, as long as he could keep an eye on his mom right now. He set a course for the freight corridor, and dropped out into real space again, merging with the convoys of transports, then with a group of ore haulers. Running a loop had also served another purpose. Almost like listening to the source of a sound, Ben made a mental map of the silent voice of the Sith sphere and got a good sense of where it was in physical space. It was close to Hapes itself. And, he felt it now, so was his mother. She'd found Lumia then. She'd beaten him to the target. Ben savored a brief fantasy of emptying the shuttle's cannon into the sphere, felt strangely sorry to destroy the ship just to finish Lumia, and wondered if all boys went through a stage of feeling aggressively protective toward their mothers. Maybe that went with finding it so hard to deal with fathers as you grew up. It was that alpha male thing.
Come off it. How many guys your age, or any age, have to worry about their family being attacked by Sith and insane dark Jedi? This isn't normal life. The rules are different.
Ben got as close to the Sith sphere as he dared. As far as he could tell, it was holding its position. But when it moved, he'd go for the kill. Then his mom would know he was there, whether he made himself detectable in the Force or not, because the GAG shuttle was about as stealthy as a brick. If he could avoid killing the Sith ship, he would. For some reason, it bothered him more than killing a real human being, which he'd done too many times now. Fountain Palace, Hapes. Jason said goodbye to Alana, finding it freshly painful not to be able to call her his little girl.
"Nice fur," she said.
She refused to be parted from the stuffed tauntaun, and hugged it to her with both arms.
"What's his name?"
Jason squatted down level with her. She was Force-sensitive and smart, but if she'd realized who he actually was, she was too well-schooled in survival to say. He liked to think that it was a knowledge they both shared, and that she understood why he couldn't be Daddy. Not yet, anyway. It was a sobering thought for such a little girl. "What do you want to call him?"
"Jason."
"That's lovely. Why Jason, sweetie?"
"So when you don't come to see us, I can talk to him instead."
A father's guts were made to be twisted. Jason reached the stage of wanting to just turn and run when he took his leave of her and Tenel Ka, so he could avoid that hesitant parting a step at a time, looking back over and over again and thinking, "What if this was the last time I ever saw them?" He did think it. It was morbid, but a measure of how important they were to him that he tested just how devastated he'd feel without them. At least as chief of state, he had a much better reason for more frequent contact with an allied monarch. And he'd come through this visit without his destiny bursting in and creating a moment that told him he had to kill them. He listened for that whisper of fate, dreading it, but there was only silence. It would only have caused him pain. Nothing more. Sith ways were logical, never pointlessly cruel. Whatever sacrifice he still had to make, it would have productive meaning, however hard. Jason, the Tauntaun, who was there for Alana when he wasn't around, would always hurt a little, though. Tenel Ka walked with him in silence to the Stealth X in the compound. "You're not happy about Omis, are you?" he said. She did that gracious tilt of the head, the one she must have learned to cover her real reaction when she was being bored senseless by guests at a diplomatic reception. "It's very different being the focus of government after you've enjoyed the relative freedoms of being a deputy," she said. "I hope it doesn't turn out to be a mistake for you."
"I can always steer the attention to Neothel."
"Make sure you both have different ambitions. It's far safer than both wanting the same thing."
"That sounds like the kind of advice I should wake up sweating about in the small hours."
"I think the phrase is lonely at the top, Jason Solo." She indicated the blaster, lightsaber, vibroblade, and toxin darts in the belt around his waist.
I see you're getting used to the Hapen level of mistrust.
Like you say, it's lonely. He didn't look back this time. Now that his brief respite was over, the fresh memory of Mara haranguing him, had he handled it right? Did she have enough on him to destroy all he was working for? Flooded back in, along with Ben's face.
I want it over with. I can deal with it. I just can't stand not knowing where and when and how.
The Stealth X lifted clear, and Hapes dwindled into a sumptuous quilt of gardens and canals again. He had a good idea now of what he'd face when Ben was gone. Mara, an animal robbed of her young, with all the primeval, wounded rage that went with it. And Luke. He had no idea how Luke would react, only that a man who could bring down the Empire, and whose blood was closer to Vader's even than his own, wouldn't be paralyzed by grief. Jason was now more afraid of the Skywalkers discovering Alana's parentage than of the Hapen nobles. He could probably protect her from the Hapens if he had to, but it would be far harder to protect her from the vengeance of Luke or Mara. Alana was his weak point. But nobody knew, and it would stay that way until he was certain he'd eliminated every threat she might face. He wasn't taking chances. He was going to create two of the most lethal enemies any being could have.
Hapen Fleet Ops to Stealth X-11. Safe return, said the voice on the comm.
They had never said that before. Being chief of state had obviously upped their anxiety status to triple red or something. But he was perfectly safe here. He was still visible in the Force, still all warmed, bittersweet feelings, and for a little while he could afford not to care. As Jason accelerated toward the hyperjump point, he could have sworn a vessel was close to him. He felt something in the Force for a moment, but it was gone again. He checked his instruments. Nothing. If the Hapes cluster hadn't been such a maze of hazards, he'd have jumped the moment he passed the planet's upper atmosphere.
It must be something in the Hapen water. You were never this jumpy.
But there was something out there. And while he hated the imprecision of the phrase, something dark, that was the best he could do. Something hostile that was trying hard not to be. He hoped it was Hapen, and that they were just trying in vain to track him out of their space. He should have been able to sense that clearly, though. An ordinary vessel flown by ordinary people. This wasn't ordinary. He planned for the worst. If he angled the Stealth X right and shut down the head-up display, he could see a panoramic rear view reflected in the view screen. Sometimes he needed to see with his eyes to be certain. He killed the display and shifted his focus, and for a moment all he saw was velvet void. Then the stars winked out. Lumia? Silence. She could hide in the Force, too. She thought he was letting his concentration wander. She probably couldn't resist finding out where he was going. If she'd followed him here, then she knew about Tenel Ka. She'd use it.
It's okay, Lumia. I know it's you.
But there was still no response. That wasn't like her.
Lumia, I can't let you live now. You realize that?
For a moment, even in this crisis, he found himself measuring her death against his prophecy. Was it Lumia, after all? Was she the sacrifice? What could there possibly be about her death that would kill something he loved.
Lumia, last chance.
Then a searing white beam flooded his cockpit and blinded him for a second. He rolled instinctively to brake, suddenly aware it was a landing light so close on his tail that the vessel must have nearly collided with him. How did the proximity sensors miss it? How did he miss it? His force senses were flooded instantly with someone else's ice-cold anger. The comm crackled.
"Game over, Lumia," he said, targeting his aft cannon.
"You bet it is,"
said Mara.